And Happy New Year! Get to say that twice, you know, in the church, since the church New Year began at Advent. I get to say it again, secular New Year. I haven't seen you all since last year. It's amazing. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Yeah, we've got that out of the way now so we can move on. And Happy Epiphany. So this is unique because, you know, it doesn't always happen that the Epiphany falls on a Sunday. And so here we get to celebrate. This is wonderful. You know, somebody coming in off the street would say, why are y'all still decorated for Christmas? Well, it's still Christmas, okay? And you know, all through this week we've had our lights up, you know, on the house and everything. And people are going by probably thinking, what are they doing? But so here we come to this culmination of the Christmas season. It's a wonderful, glorious time. And it's 2019. It's hard to believe that, isn't it? I had to write that a couple times at work yesterday, and it's like, I messed it up, you know. Keep writing 2018. That'll happen for a couple of weeks, I guess. Here's a sobering thought, though. I think this came out on Twitter. Somebody said that, you know, now we are less than 80 years away from the year 3000. Wow. But that means that babies born now will see the year 3000 often. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy.
No, that's 2100.
2100. Oh, never mind. What am I talking about? 3,000, I know. That seemed kind of high, didn't it? That's what we get for listening to Twitter, let me tell you. So we're continuing the story of the birth of Christ, okay? And you heard in the gospel today, this is the visit of the Magi, okay? Again, Christmas is not over. The world's done with it, but we aren't, okay? And we've reached this new high point because not only has God come in the flesh to save the world, but he's allowing other people into it besides just Jews. And this is what the representation of the Magi coming, because they were not Jewish, to visit him, that others are being welcomed into the plan of salvation. And that's an incredible, wonderful thing, okay? Because I'm not Jewish, okay? So I wanted to be part of this. Thank you, Lord. I mean, we heard about his birth, you know, it was Christmas. The events surrounding it, including, you know, some of the bad things, the murder of the innocents, you know. And now we hear about the flight to Egypt occurs because of what Herod does in that story you heard today. And the visit of the Magi, like we talked about. And I was reading through, Father Bill had brought back from Mepkin Abbey these little devotionals for Advent. And one of the commentators, I guess you'd say, in there had talked about that Jesus ushered in an era of peace. And I was like, what? I got to think about that a little bit. And this is the thing that kind of stuck in my mind throughout this whole season. Because we think of this as a season of peace, right? I mean, everybody talks about that. Even the secular world talks about it. You know, they call Christmas this season of peace, this time of peace. That Christmas Eve is so peaceful, you know. We hear wonderful stories like David shared about World War I, where at Christmas Eve, you know, they stopped shooting and they went out and they got together both sides. It was a time of peace, you know. And we always hope for that in the midst of war, certainly. And we hope and pray that on Christmas our cities are peaceful, right? And we pray that Bethlehem is peaceful on Christmas. And I heard they had a record number of pilgrims this year. You know, there's so many that the local people couldn't really be a part of it. So it's kind of an interesting thing, but it was peaceful. And then the angels proclaimed peace on earth, right? Goodwill towards men. So, okay, we think about this as peace, you know, but what is this thing? What is this peace? Well, when I think of peace, I always think of hippies. Okay, so I guess I better explain that a little bit. You know, peace, man, you know, yeah, there you go, the peace symbol, all that sort of stuff. You see, this is my confession, I was too young to be a hippie. Okay? I was born in 1962. Okay, well, you say, well, it could have been, but you know, when did Woodstock happen? 69, right? I was seven. You know, I didn't care about Woodstock or what they were doing. You know, I was definitely too young to know or even care what they were up to. Even as we got a little bit older, you know, I was still like 12, you know. And, you know, I was just told not to talk to strangers with the long hair. So I didn't. Right. See, my age of enlightenment, you know, that time when you know everything, it didn't come, you know, adolescence, that didn't come until the 70s for me. And, you know, by then it was disco. It's not the same. You know, not the same. There were no causes to protest, you know, except disco, I guess. We didn't know. We didn't know any different. There was no revolution to rage against, you know. No Vietnam War was over by then. All we had was John Travolta and the Bee Gees. Yeah, right. Okay. I was not a hippie, okay? But you think about all that peace stuff, right? You know, peace, love, dope, right? That's what they used to say. And, you know, hippies thought that they were a part of something good, okay? A revolution, yes! Revolution, they changed the world! At least the U.S., that's for sure. And I'm not certain that it was particularly all for the better. But they protested for peace, right? But it was a different kind of peace than what I'm talking about. It was a superficial peace, okay? They wanted the absence of war, okay? Specifically the Vietnam War. But from my perspective, the other thing that I saw was that they wanted peace from anybody telling them what to do as well, okay? They wanted peace to do anything they wanted. Drugs, sex, rock and roll, right? They wanted no rules. That's another idea of peace that you might think of. And in some ways, to me, it looked like a selfish peace, okay? Now, the true peace that I'm talking about is very different than that. I mean, you've heard the saying in the past, you know, love is a person, right? You know, we've heard this. This is Jesus, right? Well, peace is a person, too. That's what I'm telling you today. Peace is Jesus. True peace is found in Jesus Messiah. The Nativity, this Christmas event, I said it ushered in this new era of peace. That's what this author was saying. And I'm like, well, wow, how can that be? I mean, how can that be? The era of peace, you know, is this it? Okay? Well, yes, this is it. Okay? We're not still waiting for it to happen. It's not one of those things that's coming as a part of the rapture, okay? It's not the thing we're waiting for in the thousand-year reign of Christ, yet to come, found in Revelation, something you get when you die. Peace is here now. That's what we're talking about. This is the era of peace since Jesus came as a baby. When he was born, the era of peace began. What did he say? What did they say? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They were heralding in the new era of peace, those angels. And you say, well, I don't know, I'm confused, because, you know, we look at those 2,000 years and they haven't been particularly peaceful, right? War after war after war, right? The fall of Rome, the invasion of the Visigoths and the Goths and all of that. Remember the Dark Ages? Wasn't really very peaceful. Then we think about the wars just between England and France. They had a 100-year war, right? The American Revolution, all the other revolutions that occurred, breaking away from British imperialism, the American Civil War, the Spanish-American War, culminating then in World War I, World War II, the worst century that we've ever seen as far as deaths from war. And it doesn't stop there. There's Korea. There's Vietnam. There's Afghanistan. There's Afghanistan again. There's, the Chechnya. There's the Gulf War. South Africans. The Balkans War. How can that be an era of peace? Doesn't make sense. It's contradictory. It seems that way, doesn't it? And then Jesus himself, I mean, we heard the angels, they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, right? Jesus himself said, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. Division, in other words, right? Worldly division came with Jesus. But spiritual peace came with him as well. We know that the world and the enemy pushes against the furthering of the kingdom and the furthering of Jesus' peace on earth. And that's what I was just describing to you, is that pushback. But sometimes I think that we as Christians can forget what it would be like not to have the spiritual peace that I'm talking about. Okay? We forget what, you know, it's like. I mean, you know, I don't remember now a time when he wasn't with me. Okay. I was baptized as a little boy, 3 years old, I think I was. But I wasn't a hippie. You know, what was it like before God came in the flesh? Huh? And I was raging against hippies. If any of y'all were hippies, I'm sorry. You know, talk to me afterwards, okay? You know, could you really find inner peace back then? No. Right? People were searching, you know, there's nirvana. But I don't know how many people found nirvana. I think it's hard for us to understand the lack of peace that I'm talking about. And that's why I wanted to bring this up to you today. Because it's so important, epiphany. Sometimes, maybe, in our days when the whirlwind is going on, you know, when things are going on around you, and you're like, oh, no, what's going on next, you know, and maybe you can't hear God's voice, maybe it's too distracting, everything's going on, or you haven't heard from Him in a while, too, and it seems like it's all going down the drain, and you're like, oh, what else can go wrong? Everything's raging around you, and there seems no escape from it, right? You've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Then you may have some a small understanding of what it's like not to have Jesus' peace. That's probably about the best thing that I can think of to getting to that place. When we get to that place, we can turn around and say, Lord, help me. And we can say, oh God, what do I do now? Other people don't have that. And that's that lack of peace that I'm talking about. It's that hopelessness, that fear, the anxiety that lurks just under the surface, you know, and people are going around trying to do anything they can to distract themselves from it or to medicate themselves for it. That's what it's like without God, without Jesus in our hearts, without His peace. That's what the absence of peace is, okay? So He did bring peace to the world. To each heart that will receive Him. And it's offered to all. So where do we find the love of peace? Where do we find peace? In the love of Jesus, of course. This is the era of peace. You see what I'm trying to get at here? So as we think about this era of peace, there are times when, you know, the enemy doesn't want us to have peace, and that's where that whirlwind comes from that I was talking about. The enemy would love to steal your peace. One way he can do that is to cause an offense, or to cause you to offend someone, or that you can take offense against somebody else, you know. And then you let it fester and you let it grow and it gets bigger and bigger. And once you do that, then, you know, his way is to say, you know, they're not worth it. Don't even talk to them about it. And then it keeps growing and growing because you won't talk about it to anybody, or at least to that person. You might talk to other people about it, which just makes it worse. And that lack of communication just allows the offense to grow, and it becomes resentment, and it widens the split. And then the enemy can whisper more lies in there at that point and make the resentment grow stronger and stronger, and before you know it, you've lost your peace. Which is the devil's ultimate plan, okay? You know, he doesn't care about your interpersonal relationships, but he cares about your relationship with God, and he wants to separate you from God. By stealing your peace, he can do that. But it's easily thwarted, you know. I mean, it takes a little bit of discipline, of course. A believer has to overcome that temptation to stew in the offense. Requires you to talk to the one who offended and try to mend it. Early on, we talked about this in years past. This is Matthew 18:15, if you want to look at it. You see, by stealing your peace, the devil can put you on the way to losing your relationship with Jesus, i.e. your soul. Now, other things can do this too. Things like worry can cause you to lose your peace. Okay, worry, there are a lot of things that can do this. I'm just bringing up a couple. Worry can, over things that you can't do anything about, weakens your faith. And it can steal your peace. Worry takes the problem out of God's hands and puts it in your hands. Let's see. God? Me? No, not so good. Once again, like a fence, it can sit there and stew and it can grow and it can let your worry grow larger and larger. And that's why when we're here in the church, we talk about giving our cares to Jesus. Talk about laying our problems or our worries down on the altar here. And it's saying that you give them up and you're putting them in His hands. And you're saying, okay, Lord, This is for you. And you sometimes have to do that every Sunday, or every day, or every minute of the day. And that's okay. You know, when you have a problem going round and round in your mind, the best thing to say is, Lord, I give you this problem. I don't know what to do, but I give it to you. Show me what to do. Doesn't hurt to say please, too. So you see, we've been walking this dynamic for 2,000 years during this era of peace, right? We've been on this tightrope kind of thing, you know, because there's peace and then there's pushback, there's physical violence, but then there's spiritual peace. And since Gentiles entered the family, people like me, we were given peace as a gift, you see. A new peace in our hearts through a relationship with Jesus that we can't remember because we've always had it. Maybe if you were an adult that was a non-believer and then you came to the Lord, you may be able to remember a little of that somewhere back in the past. And it may be a long time ago and maybe you've forgotten about that. And we can still have our peace stolen from us. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour anyone he can. Ever heard of that? It's in the Bible. He wants to separate you from God. He does it through offense, through breaking up relationships with other believers, and things like worry as well, too. Things that point you away from God as the source of help. Jesus did bring peace to the world. To each heart that will receive him. It's a peace of the Spirit, not of the world. And it can happen even in the midst of those wars and terrible things I mentioned. That's the only place we'll find our peace, is in the love of Jesus. This is the era of peace, because peace is a person. And that's incredibly significant on this Epiphany. When we were invited into that peace, the visit of the Magi, because of scriptures like, you know, Isaiah 60, once you read the right one, fine. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over the peoples. The Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And Ephesians 3, the key to that passage that you heard in Ephesians 3, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Members together of one body, shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's incredible news. We, the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the infidels, were included in his wonderful love. We were offered peace in our spirits. The love of the Father. Hallelujah. Don't look for peace when you die, because you can have it now. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Keep short accounts with God. That's what Father Nick used to say, if you remember, you know, because he was an accountant. Makes sense, you know. But if you got things and offenses against God or against you, don't let the sun go down on them. Keep your accounts short. And keep your accounts short with other believers and with the family. Don't let offense and anger and worry grow. Nip them in the bud. Be done with them. Don't give the devil any entrance into your peace. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is not the absence of rules, okay? The ability to do anything you want. Peace is a relationship with Jesus, Messiah. Only found in the love of God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is peace. Amen.